Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey guys, welcome to an epic episode of Soul Sisters. I'm Jessie Katz.
I'm Dara Golub.
And we're going to get right to talking about our guest today because she is the epitome of a soul sister. Mm-hmm. She is the highest selling female gospel singer of all time. Cece Winans comes from gospel royalty and she has a new album out and she graced us with her divine presence.
Oh my God. And also in the podcast, you mentioned a song that is your favorite song. And then I mentioned another song
from the new album.
And immediately after the podcast, I just had that song that you mentioned on repeat. I have not stopped listening to this record.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so uplifting.
I know.
The way that gospel is meant to be.
Exactly. And you were not that well-versed in gospel beforehand.
Not at all.
I told you that sometimes I sneak into Baptist church services for the gospel music from time to time.
Being
two Jews, we're not used to religious services that have uplifting music featured in them,
right?
Which we talked to Cece about.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked a little bit more off mic.
We asked her to help save Jewish music because she's also a pastor, a co-pastor with her husband at a church that they started in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So she's putting her music into practice as well.
Right.
She told us how she like sneaks in with the choir sometimes, which is pretty mind blowing.
How
to
cool
imagine.
Would it be to go? We gotta go.
I know. She invited us many times,
she
so
did.
We're gonna do it, guys. Mm-hmm. We'll try to record a special episode
Tons
down in Nashville.
Tons of reasons to go to Nashville, and that is certainly one of them.
Exactly. And we talked to her about her relationship with Whitney Houston. They, of course, had that huge hit "Count on Me" from "Waiting to Exhale" back in the day. And we're very influential to each other. It was a great combo. So let's just get right to it. Cece Winans on Soul Sisters.
So cozy.
Isn't that
nice?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day in New York.
Oh, fine. Are you here? Or you're in Nashville.
I'm in Nashville.
Right.
Beautiful there today, too.
Beautiful
day. But today, New York was just amazing.
Yeah.
How long are you here for?
I sing tomorrow at the Beacon.
Yeah, that looks like a
then,
cool show.
Yeah, it's probably going to be fun.
Yeah.
Then I leave on Friday morning.
Okay.
So back home?
Back home.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been doing two or three real busy runs, promotional tour.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Is this the end?
Forgot. For tonight. Then
but
tomorrow.
But I mean, when you go back home.
Oh,
then...
No. I have to do Washington.
Okay.
Get that Norfolk, Virginia, and Washington.
Got it.
Area next time, next week.
Yeah.
And in between, I pastor a church with my husband. So
right.
I'm busy doing that.
Yes.
And I'm saying to myself, what was I thinking?
What? With that church?
Wait, I want to say.
With the record.
With the record.
With the church, it wasn't me.
Which
trust
one do
me.
You
yeah,
regret
which
more,
one?
The record or the church?
That was not my point. We still can't get over to church. We'll explain.
Wait, I want to
okay,
know.
Yeah,
all
this.
This
is like,
that Will,
was
are
not
we rolling?
Our plan at all. we're rolling. Okay.
You okay, said which one?
Which one? Because
that's a great way to start an
I
interview.
Think so.
Which one?
Well, we've never been to your church,
but
we've heard your album. So
church or record?
If we had to choose right now, we want the music.
We want the music, but
maybe we should come to the church.
Right. You should come
and then we
to
could
the...
decide.
There
fairly.
You go. Don't decide yeah, okay. yet. I'm glad right. you love the record. Yeah. But I guarantee you,
we love the church.
You love the church more. Yeah.
Was it ever a decision, church or?
No, it wasn't a decision.
Turn your phones off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, making
right,
sure.
Get going into it.
We're not wasting time here, ladies.
The church was something that just took me and my husband by surprise. You know, let's say, okay, we started the church about 5 years ago. Yeah. The name of the church is Nashville Life Church in Nashville, Tennessee. All right? Nashville Life. And so probably about 15 years ago, maybe more than that, a lady came, a very nice lady who prayed for us one day, and she told us, she said, you guys are going to be pastors. And we were like, no. My husband was like, we'll walk on the moon before we...
What did your husband do before
nothing
that?
Nothing against pastoring, right. But we just never...
And you never.
That. Me ever. And I've been doing gospel music all my life.
Yeah.
Traveling, but never thought that would be a part of my life. So what happened was time went by because we just ignored it. We just was like, well, if it's God's will, he's going to make it very clear to us, right? And so my children asked my son asked me if some of his friends could come over for a week Bible study. And we said, well, sure, you can. So we thinking he's going to have maybe a few friends. It would end up with about 40 young people at our house. Very diverse group of people and had an awesome time. And we were like, okay, great. We still didn't think about what the lady had said years ago. And then they asked us to do it again because their lives were changed. And in a major way, it was really beautiful. And so they asked if we would do it. We said yes. And this time 80 young people showed up. And the same thing happened.
Are you pastoring in an informal sense in these settings, or are you just hosting as a mom?
I'm hosting as a mom, and my husband as a dad. And actually, somebody else actually came in and did the Bible study for that week. And what can I say? It was amazing.
Here you are
what
with
happened?
The church and an album.
Yeah. And so we did. So the church was birthed in my home after that second time.
That's awesome.
And we knew that was God's purpose for our lives.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And so at that time, I was thinking about getting ready to do a record. I couldn't. I had to focus on the church.
Wow.
I was like, I got to focus on the church. So this particular record, it has been over 9 years since I've released new music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does it feel?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is my first time coming out as a co-pastor because I pastor along with my husband and an artist.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm figuring out how that feels right now. It's
Do you
it's
feel
a
like
lot.
You have to speak differently about, I don't know, like, do you have
Since
to present
I've
yourself
started,
differently? Do you have like this new responsibility, this new kind of public face to your congregation?
No, you know what? It's really... What's been great about it, you just continue being who you are.
Yeah.
It's definitely more of a responsibility where I had, where you're looking over and you're responsible for discipling people, teaching them the way and how to love God and how to really love themselves, because God will show you who you are. And then when you love yourself, you're able to love other people. You know, and so you're walking through that with them, and that looks different for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
So it's definitely more, it's more work, it's constant, but it's so rewarding.
Right. So you're actually teaching Bible lessons in a
way
that you've been doing for your career in a very different way.
Very different way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely more teaching. Before it's just singing, but you were singing messages, but now you're teaching them.
Right.
Yes.
So besides the fact that you are speaking and not singing, what would you say the biggest difference is in those lessons?
It's more detail when you're speaking.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's more detail. You have to really not just teach it, but you have to make it where they can apply it to their everyday lives.
Right.
So it sounds
like
the
good ones do that.
Right.
The good ones do. Not everyone does that.
Yeah. Well, that's the goal.
That is the goal.
Everybody's journey's different.
Totally.
People catch on slower than others.
So before this record crystallized and happened in your life, did you consider almost like your artist career sort of taking a backseat to your sort of pastor career in a way?
She said pastor career. I love that. That's funny.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I never really even thought about it that much because my prayer is always, God, what is your perfect will for me now? You know what I'm saying? So I've always sang all my life. I love it. I didn't know this much time had went by, really. But I wasn't worried about it. I knew I was doing exactly what I needed to do at the time.
Yeah.
Okay? And then my son came up with this idea for this record that you guys love.
We do.
Yes.
So I feel like I need to explain ourselves.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Which is that Dar and I are both Jewish, so we struggle with the language, I think, is why.
Oh, I love it.
Pastor,
I got two Jewish girls.
Comes out awkwardly.
Right. I love it. And you say pastoring in a...
No, but I know. I just feel
it is,
like,
yeah,
let's put it out
That's
there.
That's perfect. Okay. I love this. This is
part
awesome.
Of why, I mean, I'm a huge fan of yours, and this is so exciting just because of the music. Also, Dara and I, perhaps a little controversially, started a podcast hosted by two white Jewish women called Soul Sisters, because to us, Soul Sisters...
They did tell me that was the name of y'all show.
Right.
I've been running all day, and they were like, Soul Sisters, you're right.
Yeah.
So I'm in the right place.
You're in the right place.
No, you are legitimizing the name of our show.
Thank you. Okay.
We just had our one-year anniversary, and I've been feeling nervous about it this whole time. But now that we have the
Soul Sisters.
The ultimate.
Maybe if Aretha walked in.
Maybe I would have to sit out. Yeah.
Or
Aretha coming, I got to go.
But you are.
No, we're validated. In a new way.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I mean,
hopefully. I don't know. We just
soul
started.
Soul sister,
we'll
that could mean two meanings here, talking about soul.
Sure. It could be a lot of things. I mean,
but
listen.
Either way.
So tell me, why did you come up with this name, girls?
So what it means to me, to us, is that we have women on the show who are inspiring and who speak to us, and that's what that means to me. You're like someone who turns me on, who touches my soul.
Awesome.
We're women. Right. It's a sisterhood of artists and writers.
I mean, recently, I just sort of mentioned this in the last podcast or something, that music is just, especially when women sing it with each other, to each other, in any form of community, it's a soul act. It's a soulful. I mean, music is soulful. Obviously, that's like just the baseline. But like, there's this connection between souls. So, you know, it's an all encompassing kind of expression.
Sure,
but we're
it's
not
a little
aware.
Bit of an appropriation.
Right.
I'm not comfortable with. And if I have not talked about it before in the show, which maybe I haven't.
We haven't
I don't
gone.
Even know.
We haven't
maybe
done
I've
it.
Maybe I shied
really.
Away from it on air.
See, we're connecting.
Yeah,
I'm glad
new
that
things
you're here.
Are coming out.
I feel safe talking about this with you, because if you tell
great.
Me it's okay, then
it's
I can
okay.
sleep at night.
This is awesome. I love it.
And now we have the biggest gospel woman of all time on the show.
Woo!
So if anyone had any questions before, talk to Cece.
That's right. I can handle that.
Yeah.
I can handle. I'll be your older soul sister.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I'll protect you.
Thank you. I feel good now. But yeah, the new album is amazing. It's also all over the Billboard charts. So that's cool.
It's coming.
You came back with a bang.
Yeah, you know.
You're like, if I'm going to do it again, I'm going to do it right.
You know, it's been a long time. So if I'm going to do it, I wanted to create something that those who have followed me for years would embrace, but also I would gain new listeners like the Soul Sisters.
There you go.
You know? And so I'm excited about the reviews and how people are receiving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, so I love gospel music, and I'm someone who will sometimes sneak into a Baptist church service just to hear the music.
The music, yeah.
I was wondering, like, obviously, just looking at your sales and your Grammys and everything alone, you have a huge audience. But do you feel like your audience is very diverse? In that way, like, would you look out and very easily see someone like me as opposed to someone who grew up with that kind of music?
It would depend on where I was singing.
Right. Mm.
I have a diverse audience. I would love to see it be more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really hoping this record will do that.
Yeah.
It's already taken me places I had never been before. I did Austin City Limits. That was the first time.
Nice.
I think it was the first time I ever had anybody that was of the gospel genre on it.
Uh-huh.
So a few places like that have opened up doors for this record, which is exciting. But yeah, I can go to, You know, I can go to maybe this Women of Faith event and I'll see a lot of people who look like you, you know, and then I could go to maybe a Baptist church and I might see one or two. So it just kind of depends. But I love it when I go, because when you come to, when you guys come, notice I say when you come to Nashville to visit Nashville Life, you're going to see a diverse group of people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really diverse in my church. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Which is exciting, because that's what heaven is going to look like.
There you
know? So
do you sing at church aside from giving Bible lessons? And
every now and then, you know, the church is in Nashville. Remember that. So many singers in Nashville, so many musicians in Nashville. Normally Sunday when I come up, I welcome everybody, and I whatever they're singing, sometime I'll just add on a little bit to it and sing a little bit.
Oh, my God.
But, I know. To a church in CC, why didn't just happen to be adding on?
Okay. It's real casual.
Seriously.
Just fill in the back.
I can't. Yeah.
Very casual.
I mean, do you have people coming to the church because they're a fan of your music?
You know what? I'm starting to see that a little bit now.
Yeah. People are getting wise to it.
Again, God and all his wisdom, we started it. I didn't have anything out that I was pushing at the time. Mm-hmm. We never did any major advertising. We just kind of let it evolve. And
Word of mouth
mm-hmm. and people telling what has happened to them since they've come and how they love the love that they feel. And so it's kind of grown very organically like that.
Yeah.
Now that we're out here doing this, talking to people like you, and then social media and all that, we're starting to get a little bit more of that. But again, we've been gone now, it'll be 5 years in a few weeks.
Okay.
And so we kind of got a handle of everything now. So we'll be okay.
In the process of creating this church, I know it took a long time. What was there something distinctive that you said, you know, this is an element that we really want to bring to this church that we haven't seen, or something that you really thought about specifically?
Yeah, well, when I look at my upbringing, it was pretty strict. It was pretty traditional. Which is great, but this new generation, because really, I said it's full of millennials. I think we might have 4 older people in our church.
Oh, really?
So it's definitely geared towards, I mean, the ages between 20 and 35.
That's great.
Which is awesome.
That's awesome.
And so we just wanted them to feel at home.
Yeah.
We wanted them to really understand, more so than all the traditional rules, or just let's just get to know who God really is. Mm-hmm. And if he is who he says he is, he knows how to show himself to each person, mm-hmm. you know, and that's been awesome. Our aim is just that the real thing remains the real thing, you know, or should I say the main thing remains the main thing, and that is loving God and loving one another. Mm-hmm. So it's very simple. So we have a lot of fun.
That's good. Tell us about working with your son so closely on this album.
Tell us
about the breaking point at which it almost destroyed your relationship, which is when
you want to go right into that. Huh?
Yeah. And then tell us the high points.
Well, you know, actually, probably the lowest point, which my daughter, if she was here, she would tell you how she would come in and said, "Guys, calm down.
Is she also a musician?
She can sing. She's not interested in it, but Ashley's musical. Yeah, she can sing, but she's not.
She's not a professional.
Alvin's totally, from the time I birthed him out, I knew he was just, he loved music more than I've ever loved music. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing was when we had our differences, our passionate discussions, I'll call them, was when he was trying to convince me of the style of the record and how it was going to be very different than what I ever did before. And he loved to say the words. He loved this, to tell me, "Mom," his voice is deep, "Mom, just trust me." And I'm like, "No, Alvin, absolutely not."
What was
not.
He saying? Trust me with what?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Just do what I tell you, basically. Just trust me with the direction, all the things that's in his head. He just wanted me to trust him. I'm like, Alvin, it's been almost 9 years since I've been out, and you've never produced a whole record, so why should I just trust you? You're going to explain every little detail to me. And that took him a while because he was bringing in different sounds that I had never did before. Mm-hmm. And he explained it to the T. Mom, some of the things that you think are out of style are back in style now. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little retro. We're going to throw back. And that's what's...
You said
that's
retro.
Yeah. Retro. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Why would we do that?
Yeah, why would I do that?
Trust me, it's cool.
It's cool now. It's all cool now. And we're going to do all live music. And, you know, I want to do a remake of something. You know, he's the one that suggested we redo Why Me, Lord? Mm-hmm. From Kris Kristofferson. And so I was like, what? That's a country song. What are you talking about? So he had to fight me on that. But finally I got it. He started playing some of the stuff. And I was like, this is going to be really good. Cool.
Maybe he's like the next Mark Ronson.
Yeah.
Like figured out how to make this old stuff cool mm-hmm. again.
Yeah. And so I knew he was gifted and talented, but I didn't know how much.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed me more during this process of this record.
Who wrote He's Never Failed Me Yet? I'm obsessed with that song.
Alvin did.
Did he write most of the... Didn't he write all
seven
the...
Seven songs out of out of 10. You love He's Never Failed Me Yet.
I love it. I've listened to it on repeat. It's so good.
It's
so
like powerful. My favorite. I feel it's like one of my favorites well today, but it's good.
That's one of those songs where the second I heard it, I was like, I know the song, mm-hmm. don't I? Mm-hmm. It has that instant classic feel. Like, this is a
That's
song that I've been hearing
feels,
for decades.
But that one in particular, for sure.
Right.
But the record has this familiar and instant,
like, wasn't this a hit mm-hmm. already? Yeah. Like, that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Seriously.
With also a fresh, like, everything sounds very fresh.
Yeah.
Yet.
It just sounds like something that you already love before you even heard it.
See, you sound like Alvin. You girls sound like Alvin did, trying to convince me of this. And what's amazing is that people are getting it.
Yeah.
And they hear it, and that's what they say.
That's so exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Really? He's never failed me yet. Awesome.
There
I
love you go.
It.
Run to Me is, I think, my favorite.
Run to Me. Very good.
It's just that classic, you know, Motown.
Kind of sound like the Supremes.
Totally.
A bit,
oh, my God. Yeah. It's that, like, classic duet.
He had to sell me on that one.
Really?
Yeah. But when I got into the studio and was singing it, I was like, oh, this is going to be fun.
But, I mean, you've crossed over before, and you mm-hmm. know how to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Count on Me is one of the biggest hits
of
my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know?
Count on Me was a great song. Yeah. But I think this record is different. Count on Me was definitely clearly a contemporary sounding song.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think reaching back to get something that sounds old but yet make it fresh.
Yeah,
right.
Was the challenge.
Definitely.
For him.
And something to be convinced of. It makes sense that you were saying to yourself, why does that really work?
Why would I do that now?
But it's going to be the key, I think, to the sort of crossover now and for how the 20s and 30s and even younger mm-hmm. people are going to really relate to it in a fresh way.
Yeah. Can I actually ask you about the Count on Me music video? Because I just rewatched it
other
day.
Oh, I did too. Somebody posted it because, was it Whitney's? It was something that. It was the day that we released it in whatever year we released it in.
Yeah.
So somebody put it up on social media and I was like, oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, is it like the... 25th? No.
It wasn't that long.
What, the film?
Whatever day it was the same day we had released
it. Got it. Okay, mm-hmm. okay.
Whatever year that was.
Yeah.
So ask
it's such a 90s video. Well, they're just like three parts to it. There's like clips from Waiting to Exhale, and then there's you and Whitney kind of like being friends singing to each other, and then it transitions and it's
to
like a live
show.
Yeah. What was that concert?
It was for the video.
Okay. It was just all staged of it was for the video.
It was, yeah.
Okay, okay.
It was not a
regular I was like,
concert.
Wait, was there like a Waiting to Exhale tour? They captured footage. There's like women crying in the audience, no, singing along. Like,
it was just the video, but you know, it was a powerful song.
No,
it's a great song of friendship. And so it was just for that video though.
One of my colleagues who works for The Hollywood Reporter is in my office yesterday. I told her you were coming on the show and she was like, Count on Me was me and my sister's song, and then she just launched into it and would not stop. Went through the entire song. Everyone in the office is looking at her. She got louder and louder and louder. Like, you, once you start, you can't stop.
You
have to finish it.
She
was feeling it all over again.
And it's not easy to sing those parts, man.
No,
you know
it's not.
You just sing like that.
Yeah,
that's so impressive.
Yeah. I know.
Were there moments after collaborations such as that where you were trying to, the way that Alvin was trying to convince you, like, just trust me, where people were saying to you, you know, how about we come in a little bit more this direction, a little more pop, a little like trying to sort of edge you away from what you wanted to do, and you had to stay true to yourself, or a challenging time in that way?
You know what? Never really had a challenging time in that way, because of the way we got started and how we were able to really cross over and go into places we didn't know we would go. And that is, when we first signed, we signed with a Christian label. Sparrow Records was the name of it, years and years ago.
When you say we, do you mean you and your brother?
Yes, I'm sorry, everybody. My brother and I, BB and I, who I started recording with, BB and CeCe, we did our first recording for Sparrow Records. Now, Sparrow had a partner, which was Capitol Records, you know, in the mainstream, EMI. And Capitol Records heard our music, BB and my CD, and they were like, can we sign these kids? And we don't want to change anything, you know? So because of that, and they started playing us on R&B, and we started charting and all of that. So because of the success that we had early on, just being who we were, doing the music we love to do, it's never really been hard to convince people that other people want to hear it, even though they might not really be gospel music listeners.
Yeah, I think that's an inspiration in itself. We talk a lot about artists who want to or have to, like, you know, succumb to pressures of like wanting to change or not wanting to change or be something that someone else wants them to be in any way. And I think being in a genre that's so, you know, of itself and its own thing, to be able to maintain that without, you know,
never
too much
changing
external pressure in any way. That's inspirational.
And I think again, we were blessed because when we started, we were so young, and because they embraced it the way it was. But I can only imagine starting out young and you have everybody saying, do this before I do this.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of heard it after it was already done and they embraced it the way it was. So that was good. But yeah, that would be hard. But
but
that's one of the things I always tell people. Remain. Nobody can beat you being you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
So stick to being true to yourself.
Yeah. But I mean, when you have a song like Count on Me and you prove that you can be huge on pop charts,
right,
then there's got to be pressure to be like, come over here,
right,
make more, more money doing that.
But I mean, come on, guys. The person I sang with was Whitney Houston. You know,
true.
That definitely
well,
had a lot.
Did you get that from Whitney?
With,
like, do more of this. You're good at this. See, you can do this too.
Yeah. I mean,
remind me of Whitney's relationship with your family.
Well, Whitney, we were friends. BB and I met her at an Image Awards.
Okay.
The year she came out, we were out in California, and that was the year, of course, she was winning everything.
Yeah.
And she actually noticed us. She noticed me. She was like, wait a minute, CeCe. I'm like, well, how do you know me?
Yeah.
And she had listened to my family's music.
Mm, there you go.
And she said, are you guys performing anywhere in town? And I was like, actually, we had a late show that night in a very small place called, I want to say Concerts by the Sea. And she said, I'm coming. And we were like, well, okay, sure. She showed up that night and ended up on stage with us, singing all of our songs better than we've ever sang them before in our lives.
Wow.
And that's where our friendship began.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So that was over 20 years ago.
Yeah. God, I mean, and then, like, I think the first time I had seen you perform was at her funeral. That's just, like, some crazy, sad symmetry. Yeah.
So sad. Really? That's the first time you heard me sing?
That's the first time I, like, saw you. I had heard you.
Yeah,
music,
you heard me, but as far as seeing
put
me.
A face
yeah,
yeah.
That was a song that I recorded years ago, Don't Cry For Me, and Whitney sang it a few times, and she loved the song. She would actually sing it when she was out on tour.
Yeah.
And I want to say Barbara Streisand could have sang that song, too, because after she heard Whitney. Mm. So when they asked me to sing at her funeral, because they asked me, you know, at the last minute, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it through this.
Really? Yeah.
But, you know, when they asked me to do that particular song, I knew it was her favorite. So I prayed, and I was like, Lord, you got to help me make it through this, because this is my friend and my sister. And so sad. Yeah, still can't believe she's gone. But yeah, I did it, and I made it through.
You did. I mean, we don't have kind of royal feeling spectacles in this country, like kind of state affairs very often. Anything that feels like, you know, if like a king dies in another country, but that funeral felt like one of those moments where the entire country was together.
They loved her,
and
and it was sad.
It was sad, but it was a beautiful display of what her life had been, seeing you and all these other people and people that I don't even know if they were that involved in her life. Like Alicia Keys, I remember, performed.
Yeah,
they were. They were. Definitely people who were also very inspired by her.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anyway, yeah. Do you think that you would have had this life in music if not for your family? Like, can you separate the two in your mind?
No.
Or are you just
no
like completely a product of...
Completely a product.
Yeah.
My mom and dad both sang, and they raised us in the church. And so all of us, and when I say all of us, they had seven boys straight. I have seven older brothers and two younger sisters. So it's 10 of us, and we all sang. So, you know, my first solo, I was 8 years old. I was made to sing, you know. And I was like, I don't want to sing. Who cares what you want? Get up there and sing.
Was there a minute of that? You're like, I don't want to do that.
Oh, yes, definitely. Always loved singing, but I never liked singing out front. Mm. So they pushed me.
And was it
that.
In church? I mean,
in
is that where you get your...
Yeah, that's where you get your push and your start. And then when they realized we all sang, my mom and dad would sponsor us in concerts, you know, in the city. So, you know, together we were a choir, but we broke it up. It's probably about three different groups in the same family. And so this has always been a part of our lives. So it was a friend of ours who came to Detroit, Andre Crouch, who was a well-known recording artist himself, and he heard us, and he was the one to record my older brothers, the Winans. So they had already started before I got started. So yeah, there's no way I can separate the two.
Yeah. Wow. So we read that you were only allowed to listen to gospel in the house growing
That's
up.
Right.
Is that correct? But
That's
what
it.
We want to know is what music did,
what
you,
did
sneak?
You sneak?
I definitely sneak something.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. We didn't have. I mean, you didn't really have to sneak. Because we were in Detroit, you know, Motown.
Okay.
I mean, the Four Tops lived down the street from us. I mean, a couple of blocks over.
But was that off limits in your house officially?
Off limits in my house. Off
and was that like a secret radio you would listen to? Like, I want to know.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, what were the habits?
If you sneak in the house, you get kicked out of the house probably at that time. I understand it now more than I understood it then, but they were just really protective of what we embraced in our souls, in our hearts. And of course, I listen to that music now, and it's amazing, you know. And I heard it then. I mean, I remember, you know, going to the corner store and hearing, "You are the sunshine of my life." You know, Stevie's, those songs that are like, oh. And as a kid, I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
You just do that again.
I know. Have you ever performed with him?
I have performed with him, but I talked to him not too long ago. He's listened to this record, and we're talking about getting together. Maybe I've never recorded with him. So I want to do that. Because he's just
to this
my
record?
Favorite. He's listening to it now. I haven't I haven't gotten his feedback.
Please let me know what his favorite track is. I hope it's my favorite track. And then I will have something shared with
you. You got it. You got it. So so we heard the music in Detroit. Are you kidding? We heard it. But their thing was to protect. And now that I listen to the music, some of the music that's out now, it's like, oh, God. Some
you
of the
understand.
Lyrics. I understand what... Right. They knew what was coming, right. I guess.
Did you try to do that as a mother? Say, like, look, this stuff, you're not going to listen to this until a certain age? Or
Yeah, I mean, because when you get a certain age, and you, of course, you can choose you what you anything. Want. Yeah, but definitely, because I understood the importance. Music is very powerful, and we know that. And it's powerful when it's positive, it's uplifting, it's inspiring, you want to dance, you have fun, but it's also powerful when it's negative, mm-hmm. you know? And kids are going through, I remember hearing one of my godchildren listening to a song, and she had a bad attitude, right? And I'm like, what are you listening to? And I put on the earphones, I don't know who it was or who it's by, but it just kept saying, I hate you, I hate you. This is some of the lyrics. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, oh my goodness, why?
You know? It's no wonder that you have this attitude.
No wonder.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's important what you take in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't consider myself a particularly faithful person in the traditional sense, mm-hmm. but when I listen to your music in that genre, mm-hmm. it feels uplifting in a way that is not connected to my, like, agreeing with the exact maybe implication, like when you sing about faith mm-hmm. in a song, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it still gives mm-hmm. me a feeling that is probably what you feel when you talk
right.
about faith.
Right.
And
right.
it surpasses the literal meaning of the word.
That's right. Right. Yeah. That's right.
And a lot
That's
of your right. music can be interpreted in many ways. It doesn't, mm-hmm. it's all, you know, the lyrics right. can be about a passionate person that you love and it doesn't,
that's
but you
right.
can look at it from the religious angle. And so that's, I think, a great,
yeah, you
like
can do
a
both.
Crossover.
I mean, when you look at both, when you look at the relationship you have with God mm-hmm. or a relationship you have with your spouse or whoever you're in a relationship with, God created love.
Right.
You know, and if we would just really get that down, mm-hmm. what love really is, you know, it's totally selfless. It's not about, you know, what have you done for me lately? But mm-hmm. it is, you know, how we can outserve one another. And, yeah. and that's the power in the music. And that's why I believe gospel music is so powerful, because most of the messages are comes from that. That's the foundation of it.
Yeah. Yeah. We need that right now.
Yeah. Oh, we need that. We have a song on this CD called Peace from God. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I started singing it, all the stuff that was going on in our country and around the world, it was like, we need this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need peace.
We need inner peace.
Inner peace, right.
All of it.
Yeah. All of it. Yeah. So.
And you will find it on this album. Let them fall in love.
Yes.
Let us fall in love.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let us have love.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Let us have love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful.
Soul sisters, you girls are the best.
We're trying, man. I know. We're trying. We're trying to live up to your presence today. Yeah. Any more questions for the soul sister in charge?
I don't know.
All right. Yeah, we'll end on that note.
Cece,
thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So,
I had a blast.
So awesome. Three Hebrew boys that day, all forced to take their faith to flames. I too have had the choice to break and serve the world instead. But I stood on the word and did not bow. Steps the Lord allowed, came out stronger, shouting, wow, God's never failed me yet.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.